Hello, ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. Houston's community station, 90.1 FM and FM HD1. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different cities in the US and Europe. During this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1073, I will speak with three guests. First, I'll speak with Lynn Sultan, Advocacy and Operations Manager at UNRWA USA. We will talk about UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, and the crucial services it has been providing to millions of Palestinian refugees. And during the second segment, I will speak with two Texas activists, Mustafa Carroll and Hadi Jawad. We will speak about the $75 million approved by the United States government to UNRWA to provide food aid to Palestinian refugees, but are being blocked by two politicians, Senator James Risch of Idaho and Representative Michael McCaul of Texas, and the urgent call for people to take action. But before I do that, I'd like to ask for your support and contributions to KPFT, this unique commercial-free Houston's community station, because KPFT is currently in membership drive, and that's a great opportunity to upgrade your listenership to listener sponsor and become a member of the KPFT family. KPFT is mostly financed by listeners like you, and it does not rely on the corporate world to operate. So please give us a call right now at 713-526-5738 and make that tax-deductible contribution to support your community radio station. That's 713-526-5738. You can also make a pledge online at kpft.org. This station, KPFT, is unique in so many ways. It offers a diverse range of programming, like this program, Arab Voices, that has been on KPFT for over 20 years. Hundreds of topics and over 1,000 expert guests appearing on this program from around the globe. I interview guests on this program, and I also attend events and lectures, record them, and air them. Several radio stations syndicate Arab Voices in different states in the US and even a couple of cities in Europe. Arab Voices, if you're not familiar with it, is an award-winning independent radio talk show that aims at bringing the truth, facts, and realities to the wide and diverse range of listeners. It debunks many of the stereotypes, myths, and false information disseminated by certain media outlets, some politicians, and others. There's more information about Arab Voices, and you'll even find a list of all guests that appeared on this program, over 1,000 of them, on our website, arabvoices.net. There is also an archive section online for listening on demand to any of the previous shows. So, if you appreciate what this station has been doing, I ask you to support it and keep Arab Voices and other programs on the air. Please make that call and make a pledge of any amount, whether it's $60 or $360. Call 713-526-5738 or make a pledge online at kpft.org. Your support is greatly appreciated. And you know, with all the things that are happening in the world today, and the overwhelming information you are getting from different radio stations, TV channels, countless internet websites, and social media, you really want to understand what is happening and why. You don't want to rely on those commercial stations that are sponsored by paying corporations and others who try to push out misinformation. You want to know the real truth, and that's what KPFT offers. Please call now 713-526-5738, or if it is more convenient, use our website, kpft.org. It is safe, secure, and easy to do. If you enjoy the variety of shows this Houston's Community Station 90.1 FM KPFT brings you but aren't yet a member, please join us right now and become a member. It's people just like you that make all that possible. Call now to pledge your support, 713-526-5738, or give online at kpft.org. Thank you so much. Joining us via phone from Washington, D.C. to talk about UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, and the work it has been doing for so many years, is Lynn Sultan, Advocacy and Operations Manager at UNRWA USA. Lean is a Palestinian American born and raised in North Carolina to a Palestinian refugee. She holds a master's degree in public health with a global health concentration. Lean, welcome to Arab Voices.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you on the show. Could you tell us a bit about your organization, UNRWA USA, and how that is related to UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees?
Yes, absolutely. So I'll start with talking first about UNRWA, the UN agency itself, because it helps folks to better understand our organization, UNRWA USA. So as you mentioned, UNRWA is the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East. And it was established by the UN General Assembly in 1949 to provide direct relief to people displaced by the Nakba, or what many people refer to as the 1948 Arab-Israeli conflict. And UNRWA provides direct humanitarian assistance, human development, and protection for nearly 6 million Palestine refugees registered with the agency living in one of its five fields of operation, which are West Bank, including East Jerusalem, Gaza Strip, Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan. So where we come in, UNRWA USA, UNRWA USA is a independent 501c3 nonprofit, and we support the work of UNRWA through fundraising, education, and advocacy in the United States.
Sounds great. And we will talk more about UNRWA USA and the work that you do through your organization here in the U.S. So back to UNRWA and the work that it does. You mentioned briefly. Could you elaborate more? I mean, we're talking about there are more than 6 million Palestinian refugees worldwide. There are hundreds of thousands of registered Palestinian refugees with UNRWA, for example, in the Gaza Strip, in Lebanon, in Jordan, and so on. And UNRWA has been doing so many services to those Palestinian refugees in different arenas, such as education, I know, and health and infrastructure and so many other areas. Could you talk more about that, please?
Yeah, certainly. So I think something first that's really important to understand is the majority of UNRWA employees are actually Palestine refugees themselves. So we're talking about the agency's doctors, nurses, mental health counselors, social workers, teachers. It's actually the only UN agency that is a direct service provider. It's not contracting out its work to other entities like other UN agencies. And when we're talking about the Gaza Strip, it's actually the largest UN organization in Gaza. So as you mentioned, and we talked about, UNRWA provides direct services to 6 million Palestine refugees, and this covers everything from education, both primary and vocational. So there's, you know, primary schools and specific training services. There's primary healthcare services, relief and social services, infrastructure, camp improvement, and also really importantly, emergency response. So during situations of armed conflict, UNRWA is there providing direct relief, support, and protection to Palestine refugees. And more than half of UNRWA's budget is devoted to education, is one of the biggest programs within UNRWA's provisions. They operate 76 schools, providing education to over 500,000 Palestine refugee students. And UNRWA schools are actually one of the best performing public schools in the Middle East, a recent World Bank report.
That is very significant, you know, over 500,000 children enrolled in UNRWA schools. So those schools are fully operated by the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinians. And that's not just in the Gaza Strip, but also in Jordan and Lebanon. They operate the schools also there?
Yes, and Syria as well, and West Bank. So five in all the five fields.
Of course, these are all free of charge, I'm assuming, to all those Palestinian refugees, right?
Yes, so for any Palestine refugees that are registered with the agency, they receive these services.
Tell us more about the health services and food services, because that is also critical and essential, and many, many, many Palestinians depend on that who live in refugee camps throughout the Middle East, in those areas that we just talked about specifically.
Yeah, definitely. So UNRWA has 140 primary health facilities across all of its five fields of operation, and they conduct 7 million annual patient visits every year, which is very significant. They also have women and community centers and social safety nets as part of the protection. Yeah, so UNRWA provides food assistance to Palestine refugees as well, and which, you know, I know that we're going to get to this later and talking about this advocacy effort we're working on, but UNRWA food assistance is a huge part of the services. So particularly in West Bank and Gaza, there is 1.8 million people who are food insecure, and UNRWA provides food baskets to Palestine refugees. UNRWA employees who are refugees themselves also work at the food distribution centers themselves. So not only are they providing food, but the distribution of food provides jobs to refugees as well. And an UNRWA that Palestine refugees will receive contains basic food staples that everyone needs in their kitchen, things like flour, lentils, chickpeas, sugar, and rice. And Palestine refugees receive these baskets monthly from UNRWA.
Did you say there are 1.8 million Palestinians who are considered food insecure in the Gaza Strip?
That in West Bank and Gaza.
In West Bank and Gaza, which is a significant number, by the way, huge number of the
Yes.
Palestinian population in occupied Palestine.
Yes, it's a huge number, and you know, if we're looking specifically in Gaza, it's even worse. So Gaza has a population of 2 million, over 2 million people, and 63% of the population in Gaza is food insecure. So that means that nearly two Palestinians in Gaza struggle to put food on the table, and that is why UNRWA food assistance is extremely critical.
Absolutely, that is essential. And you know, the good thing is that UNRWA has been doing that for so many years since its inception, after the United Nations General Assembly voted to create UNRWA in 1949, which, as I understand it, was supposed to be temporary until the Palestinians go back to their homes that they were forced out of by the State of Israel. But here we go in 2023, and there are still over 6 million refugees worldwide prohibited from going back to their original homes by apartheid Israel.
I do want to go back to what you were saying about the temporary agency. I think that's a really important point for people to know as well, that UNRWA, when it was established in 1949, was meant to be a temporary agency for a temporary problem. And as you said, 75 years later, 6 million Palestine refugees remain, and the plight of Palestine refugees has not been solved. So that means that the need for UNRWA continues. And because it was established as a temporary agency, that means that the UN does not fund UNRWA. UNRWA is entirely funded by voluntary contributions. And every 3 years, there is a vote by the General Assembly to renew its mandate, which has been continually renewed for the last 75 years.
So basically, donor countries, including the United States, have been providing funds to UNRWA. I know a few years ago, I think 5 years ago or so, was it under the Trump administration,
Yes.
that the US decided to stop funding UNRWA that provides these critical services we have been speaking about. But then they resumed to a certain level. And there are, as a matter of fact, part of the 2023 United States budget. They approved $75 million to UNRWA to provide food aid to Palestinian refugees in desperate need in the Gaza Strip, in the occupied Gaza Strip, and in the occupied West Bank. But unfortunately, there are two politicians here in the United States that are blocking the $75 million aid that is desperately needed, food aid to the Palestinians. And if that does not go through within the next couple of weeks or so before the beginning of September, UNRWA mm-hmm. has raised the flag that it's going to be in a crisis mode and they won't be able to provide food for those Palestinians if they don't receive the $75 yeah. million dollars from the United States. What could you share with us about that and your efforts as part of UNRWA USA to assist with this?
Yes, definitely. I'm really glad that you're bringing this up. It's a really important issue that we have been working to raise awareness about for the last couple of months. And so just a little bit more background on this $75 million for food assistance. So this is separate from the U.S.'s annual contribution that it gives to UNRWA. This was allocated by Congress in the 2023 budget for the State Department Foreign Operations and Related Programs. It was approved, and right now, as you said, it's being held by two Republican lawmakers, Representative McCaul of Texas and Senator Risch of Idaho. And if this money is not distributed by the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th, that money is going to have to be redistributed elsewhere. And as you said, UNRWA is warning that as early as September 1st, which is less than a month away, if this money is not released, they're not going to be able to refill their warehouses with the foodstuffs that we were mentioning, those basics like chickpeas, lentils, and rice. That food is distributed to 1.2 million Palestine refugees, and that includes 500,000 children that are at risk of starting their next school year without the food assistance that they need. And so UNRWA USA, as part of my role as advocacy manager, and our broader mission to advocate and educate the American public about the plight of Palestine refugees, we have been working tirelessly over the past couple months to raise awareness about this issue, starting with we worked with 24 different civil society organizations, including Churches for Middle East Peace, Mercy Corps, Refugees International, just to name a few. There was 25 of us in total. We sent a letter to McCaul and Risch requesting that they release this hold immediately. This was over a month ago now, and that wasn't successful. So we've also reached out to several media posts. We were picked up by The Hill, The HuffPost, and the Institute for Middle East Understanding, who all wrote pieces raising awareness about this issue. And right now, Representative Andre Carson is joining in on the effort and circulating his own letter within the House, urging other House Democrats to sign on to his letter to urge Risch and McCaul to release this hold. And so right now, our main efforts are really focusing on activating the grassroots communities, especially in Texas and in Idaho, reaching out to Risch and McCaul's constituents and getting them to pressure their representatives to release this hold so that 1.2 million Palestine refugees don't go hungry.
Yes, and by the way, I, Arab Voices Radio Talk Show, have reached out to Congressman McCaul of Texas, who represents District 10, regarding this matter, but I have not heard back their response yet. Have they given you, or are you aware of their reasoning for both Senator Risch of Idaho and Congressman McCaul of Texas for blocking the $75 million food aid to the Palestinians?
So I should first say that we also requested meetings with both representatives and also have not heard back from either of them. But, you know, it's a bit complicated. The $75 million sits within a broader package of $500 million of assistance to several UN agencies that McCaul is currently holding. And then Risch is specifically holding the $75 million to UNRWA. And, you know, Risch and many others who have been politicizing the humanitarian aid that UNRWA receives, you know, employ several different tropes to basically delegitimize UNRWA and the agency's work. You know, it's honestly, they give reasons for I honestly don't even like to repeat them because it just feeds this misconception about what UNRWA actually is. And but unfortunately, it's what's being used by these representatives to withhold this funding. They believe that, you know, UNRWA is a weapon, and that it is being a tool used by Hamas, and that it's teaching anti-Semitism, and, you know, and none of those things are actually true. But at the end of the day, that's what these people believe, and they are using that to essentially weaponize food.
The work of UNRWA, as we detailed some of it over the past few minutes, is known worldwide. I mean, worldwide, like you mentioned, for over 75 years, it is doing tremendous, unbelievable work to millions of Palestinians who rely extensively on food aid, education, healthcare from UNRWA that was created by the United Nations General Assembly after the Palestinians were forced out of their homes. So to block food aid to Palestinians in desperate need of food is unimaginable. It is just, it's hard to digest why. So obviously there are a lot of efforts trying to raise awareness about, and for especially for those constituents in their areas, to pressure them to change their mind, to make them release or unblock the $75 million aid. And hopefully that will work between now and September 1st, because that's a crucial time. According to UNRWA, that they will not be able to provide the food that is needed to fill their warehouses for those Palestinians. 1.2 million Palestinians need that food. And you mentioned there that includes 500,000 children.
Yes. And I also should add that the situation is made much worse by recently the World Food Program announced it was suspending 60% of its operations in West Bank and Gaza. So the World Food Program, between the World Food Program and UNRWA, they provide the majority of the food that people receive in West Bank and Gaza. But in May, they announced that they were cutting off 200 Palestinians from receiving food assistance because they are out of funding. And, you know, so the assistance that UNRWA provides is in the form of food baskets. The World Food Program provides vouchers for refugees to be able to buy their food. And so right now we have this dual crisis. This funding has already been cut. And again, it's 200,000 Palestinians who were receiving food assistance, and they're now not. So now you add on top of it 1.8 million Palestinian refugees who are receiving food assistance from UNRWA, who may not receive the food that they need to survive if this hold isn't released. And so when you put these two things together, we're really, there's a high risk of a humanitarian disaster unfolding. And, you know, Congress foresaw this type of situation. You know, this isn't a new situation. The food insecurity is not a new situation. It's been, you know, the UN predicted that Gaza would become unlivable in the year 2020. It's now 2023, and it's even worse. And so that's why they allocated this money in the first place, the $75 million, specifically for food assistance. That's why it was allocated last year. So the whole thing is just, it's unimaginable that anyone would want to keep people from receiving food.
And at the same time, it's not like the U.S. doesn't have the $75 million, because the U.S. is spending millions and millions and billions of dollars on wars throughout the world. Unbelievable spending of money on the war machine, and also providing millions of dollars to Israel on annual basis to continue its occupation of Palestine, the expansion of the colonies on Palestinian lands, and so on and so on and so on. So tell us more about your efforts, UNRWA USA, this nonprofit organization. Of what exactly do you want people who are listening to this show, whether in Texas or the other states where the show is syndicated, what can they do to assist? What can they do to help? Your immediate need, if you will.
Yeah, that's a great question. The immediate need right now is to get this hold released. The $75 million is critical and it's crucial. And as U.S. taxpayers, people should be putting pressure on their elected representatives to represent them. You know, constituents need to reach out. They need to put pressure on McCall, on Reese, to get this hold released immediately. That's the first thing. That's the most important thing. And whatever shape or form that looks like, whether it's a letter, a phone call, an email, going, you know, showing up at offices, writing op-eds, spreading the word, sharing on your social media, the, you know, the more attention that we can bring to this issue, hopefully the more likely it is that it will be released. Because ultimately, if we're not speaking up and making noise about this, then no one would know, and this money would just be lost. And so, I mean, that this is a really great example of UNRWA USA's work and what we do. A main part of our work is advocacy and education, and we really want to educate the American public about the plight of Palestine refugees and what they're experiencing, and in the hopes of generating financial support for UNRWA. And, you know, we talked about UNRWA funding earlier, how it's completely donor funded by, you know, UN member states and also institutions. And UNRWA USA is one of the biggest institutional donors for the agency itself. So, you know, continuing to support our work, donate to our cause, you know, come to our events. We host a Gaza 5K. And our next one is going to be in the Bay Area in California in September to raise money for Gaza's mental health program. We have a annual Ramadan campaign. You know, we have many ways that we're trying to get Americans involved in our cause and make sure that Palestine refugees receive the support that they deserve.
And I don't know if you know the answer to this, but if the U.S., because of Representative McCall of Texas and Senator Reese of Idaho, if they don't release the $75 million, do you know if there are any efforts or if anybody has talked about, or let's say, other UN countries stepping in and or assisting and or providing UNRWA with this deficit for the Palestinian food aid, or we don't know yet of any?
I don't know yet, to be honest. I would hope so, but, you know, I don't know.
I guess we'll see what happens. It's going to be crucial over the next 3 weeks for UNRWA to get this funding to provide to the needy Palestinians. Lynn, any last word or anything else you'd like to share with our listeners that we have not talked about?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say thank you, first of all, to you and to the listeners for listening in the first place. A lot of times when you say the word Palestine, you know, people look away, put their hands up, but they don't want to talk about it. And I think the more that we can advocate and educate about the plight of Palestine refugees and support organizations like UNRWA USA, so that the agency can continue its important work. It's all it's what we can do. As I said, you know, as taxpayers, we have voices and we should use them to urge our elected representatives to make sure that our tax money is going where we want it to. And I think it's something that, you know, the power of grassroots organizing, of coalition building, often goes unrecognized. And and to the people out there who are doing the work and supporting the cause, and just please keep doing it. And, you know, if you want to up to date, follow our list. You can subscribe to us, UNRWAUSA.org. And, yeah, just thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we have a link to that on our website, arabvoices.net, as well as a letter that is posted on your website of what people
perfect.
Can do in terms of reaching out to Representative McCall of Texas and the Senator of Idaho about releasing the $75 million aid. So that's UNRWAUSA.org, and we have a link to it again on our website, arabvoices.net. By the way, we are going to take a break, and then after we come back, we will be speaking with two Texas activists, Hadi Jawad and Mustafa Carroll, about this issue, and we'll dive more into the politics of it and what people need to be doing. So stay tuned for that. The only time I have left during this segment is to thank our guest, Lien Sultan, Advocacy and Operations Manager at UNRWA USA. Thank you, Lien, so much. We greatly appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Shortly, I will be speaking with two Texas activists, Mustafa Carroll and Hadi Jawad, about the $75 million approved by the United States government to UNRWA to provide food aid to Palestinian refugees, but are being blocked by two politicians, Senators James Risch of Idaho and Representative Michael McCaul of Texas, and the urgent call for people to take action. But I'd like to remind you that KPFT, Houston's community station, is currently in fund drive, and because KPFT relies on your support to operate, I am asking you to please call us right now and make a tax-deductible contribution. During this membership drive, please make a gift in support of the wide variety of shows that matters more than ever on KPFT. Please give online at kpft.org or call 713-526-5738. Members are the single most important source of funding for 90.1 FM KPFT. Why don't you call right now to make your membership investment and become a part of that important source? 713-526-5738, or you can give online at kpft.org. And if you make your membership a sustaining one, you'll be supporting the station for years to come. 713-526-5738 or kpft.org. We greatly appreciate the support. Please make that call and make it now. Joining us via phone from the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas to talk about the blocking by two U.S. politicians of the $75 million already approved in the U.S. budget to provide UNRWA with that money for food aid to Palestinian refugees are two Texas activists. Mustafa Carroll, a lifelong community activist and lecturer who currently serves as the convener for the North Texas chapter of the Muslim Alliance for Black Lives, and also serves on the board of United Colors Education Center. Mustafa Carroll has served on several boards, including the Shura of North Texas Islamic Council, the Make-A-Wish Foundation Board of North Texas, the Advisory Committee of the Greater Dallas Chamber of Commerce, the board of the Coalition of Community Organizations in Houston's Fifth Ward, and he also served as the executive director for the Council on American Islamic Relations, both in Houston and Dallas. And this is just to name a few. Mustafa is no stranger to Arab Voices listeners, as I had him on this show several times over the years. Also joining us via phone is Sayyid Hadi Jawad, a Dallas-based peace and justice activist, advocate and organizer who devotes much of his time to human rights and social justice issues in the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex area. Working with the Dallas Peace Center in the 1990s, Jawad led efforts in North Texas to oppose sanctions on Iraq, the subsequent U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003, and organized the largest anti-war protest in Dallas history. He is a co-founder of the Crawford Peace House in Crawford, Texas, that in 2005 drew national and international attention to the failing U.S.-NATO occupation of Iraq. In 2007, Jawad launched the short-lived American Muslim Voices in North Texas, one of the earliest Muslim radio shows in the country. Mustafa and Hadi, welcome to Arab Voices.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks. We're pleased to have you on the show. I had just interviewed Lien Sultan. She is with UNRWA USA to talk about the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees and the great work that it has been doing for over 75 years, and how crucial it is to support UNRWA because of the many services that it provides to millions of Palestinian refugees in so many different arenas, in education, especially health services, relief and social services, protection, infrastructure and camp improvements, emergency response, and many other services. So millions of Palestinians rely extensively on this. Food has been an extremely important aspect of this service that UNRWA has been providing. There has been a $75 million budget already approved by the United States government to provide to UNRWA specifically for food aid to Palestinians in dire need in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. However, there are two politicians that are blocking the $75 million aid to be given to UNRWA to provide the food that is desperately needed for Palestinian refugees. It is mind-boggling, but we want to talk about it. Why, if we know why, and what can people do about this? So, Mustafa, maybe you can start by giving us a little bit more information, what you know about this, as one of the activists that are organizing and have been actively involved with this.
Well, this giving aid to the Palestinians and the Gaza and the West Bank has for years, that every time there's any type of aid coming from any agency, it's strictly criticized and monitored. And one of the reasons that we've heard is that it's an age-old issue, is that if they give it to them, then they're supporting the terrorist organizations, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, there's aid that the United States had, was given over $200 million in assistance for the Palestinians. It was cut by the Trump administration and then restored in 2021 by the Biden administration. And then this recent issue with the $75 million is the same thing, that, okay, if we give food aid, that somehow it's going to get into the hands of people we don't like, and so therefore we're going to block it. And so the two top Republicans on this that are on the Senate and House Foreign Affairs panel are the ones blocking. That is Michael McCaul, our own Michael McCaul from Texas, and Jim Risch from Idaho. And so those are the two blocking it. And what we hope to do is to encourage folks to call McCaul's office, especially those who live in his district. He's in, I think it's District 10, but we'd like them to call McCaul's office.
Hadi, you have been involved in activism for many, many years. Your reaction to the two politicians that are blocking $75 million, not for bombs, not to create rockets, but for food that is to be distributed by UNRWA, a well-established and respected organization worldwide for over 75 years that was actually created by the United Nations General Assembly after Israel occupied Palestine by force and kicked out hundreds of thousands of Palestinians and became refugees. So that organization was created to provide the necessary services for them, including food. Your reaction to blocking $75 million for food aid to Palestinians in need?
Thank you. Thank you for that. My reaction to that in one word is that I'm disgusted. This is shocking. This is egregious. Weaponization of food to obtain political means. I mean, they're saying it clearly. Both Risch And McCaul's office have said that they're doing this because they want concessions from the Palestinians. Now, what does that mean? I mean, to me, this is so outrageous and so egregious that you want to starve people to death. You want to starve Palestinian children to death because you want to get something from them. You want to get some political concession. Horrible. I mean, this would be, in my opinion, a definition of terrorism. When you coerce a government to change its policies by threatening to starve to death its children, that is a very clear definition of what terrorism is. So the two members of Congress, Congressman Risch and Michael McCaul, are both doing what we routinely refer to as a terroristic tactic. We cannot threaten the government of Gaza, the government of Palestine, we cannot threaten of their citizens, the death of their children, because we don't like some of their policies. Now let's talk about that just a little bit. What policy do they want, do Risch and McCaul want the Palestinians to change? Well, one of the things that we have heard from Risch's office is that they are concerned that the is not doing enough in their school systems, in the textbooks that they have for their children, that speaks against anti-Semitism. Now, my question becomes immediately, how do you reduce anti-Semitism by starving Palestinian children to death? This is a ludicrous and outrageous and a shocking position to take. I am just shocked beyond belief because we have done this policy, Saeed, before. So I'm old enough to know that we had the same policy in the 1990s towards Iraq. We instigated and backed UN sanctions against that country because we wanted the government of Iraq to change its position on many many issues. And we did that by killing Iraqi children. According to the UN itself, 500,000 children died in Iraq because of U.S.-backed sanctions on their people. So it's really worrisome to me, not just as a Muslim, but as a human being, that why aren't the lives of Palestinian children, why aren't the lives of Arab children not as important as the lives of, say, American children? Why are we okay? Why do we just take it with a grain of salt that killing, starving to death Arab children, Palestinian children, is okay? I mean, Secretary of State Madeleine Albright famously in 1998 said, when she was asked, the U.S. policies against Iraq have resulted in the deaths of 500,000 Iraqi children. Is this policy worth it? And she famously replied and said, she said it's a hard choice, but I think it's worth it. So that mentality seems to be pervasive in these two gentlemen, Representative McCall and Senator Risch's head, that it's okay to starve to death Palestinian children, and I find that disgusting. So that's my immediate reaction to that whole idea of withholding $75 million in food aid. I mean, what kind of food are we talking about? We're talking about chickpeas. We're talking about flour. We're talking about cooking oil. Just basic necessities, just to survive, just not to die of starvation, just to be able to subsist and carry on. So it's horrifying, and I want to appeal to our folks, our friends beyond the Muslim community, beyond the Palestinian community to help with this. And it just takes a little effort. You know, pick up the phone and call McCall's office and say, please release the hold. What are you doing? What are you thinking? This is not good. This is not acceptable. Thank you.
And, you know, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA, they issued a statement. They actually issued a warning, a dire warning, that if the funds are not provided by September 1, we're talking September 1, 2023, like 3 weeks from now, they will not be able to refill their warehouses with foodstuffs which are distributed among 1.2 million Palestinian refugees, including 500,000 children, 500,000 children. They will starve. They will not be able to get the necessary food that UNRWA has been providing and relying on. And like you mentioned, this is chickpeas, sugar, lentils, and some other stuff. But when those politicians, they are talking about, we want governments to change this and government to change that. First of all, UNRWA doesn't report to the Palestinian Authority, nor do they report to Hamas. It's an independent entity. They have their own workforce on the ground in the occupied Gaza Strip, in the occupied West Bank. They have offices, they have schools, they have staff, they distribute the food, they manage everything from A to Z. So what does that have to do with politics, Mustafa?
It's their way of leveraging a political, as my brother Hadi said, you know, this is a leveraging terrorism. It's actually terrorism to get a political outcome, or so they think. And it's the same rhetoric that we've heard about any and almost any organization and everybody that gives any kind of aid to the Palestinians. The same case was with Islamic Relief. The same case was with the Holy Land Foundation, the same case, all of these organizations. And now you have this issue with UNRWA. But this has been the same issue, that anybody that gives any type of aid to Palestinians are accused of supporting terrorism or terrorist groups. And there is no political outcome to be achieved through this. You know, 500,000 children dead. And when Hadi was talking about Madeleine Albright's statement, I vividly remember that. And it was the worst statement I ever heard somebody make. It was okay to kill all these kids. It was worth our objective. And so I'm seeing the same thing repeat itself with this issue here, denying the 75 million to the Palestinians.
You know, it's interesting, Hadi, that we are the United States government, or at least those two politicians, because the State Department wants the money to be released. The U.S. government right now wants that money to be released. They understand that this is a food aid, and they approved the $75 million, but those two Republican politicians, they want to block it. The dilemma here, those politicians are approving millions of dollars and billions of dollars to even to the state of Israel, more than $3 billion every single year that supports Israel's atrocities in occupied Palestine, the expansion of colonies, the grabs of Palestinian lands, and all these atrocities and brutal apartheid system is supported and funded with billions of U.S. tax dollars. And I'm talking billions with a B every single year. Yet they don't want to send $75 million exclusively for food aid. They don't even give them to the Palestinians. The money is to go to UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinians. And that organization buys and distributes the food to the needy Palestinians. Isn't that mind-boggling?
It really is. And I think more than that, McCall's actions are despicable. Let me add one more thing to what you just said. Israel itself is concerned about this issue. I mean, I cannot see the Israeli government being okay with 1 million or 1.2 million Palestinians not having enough food to eat. They completely understand. They don't want this thing to go through. They understand the problems they will have on their hands. They cannot possibly feed 1.2 million. The Israeli government cannot do that. So the Israelis themselves are throwing up their hands and wondering what the hell is going on. And here's what the problem is. McCall and Risch are a right-wing ideology, Republican politicians, and this is how they throw red meat to their followers and to their supporters. This is ideological battle. This has got nothing to do with politics. It's got nothing to do with anything else. It's purely, purely ideological. And it's despicable, you know, that they are willing to threaten and put to risk lives of millions of people, 1.2 million Palestinian, including 500,000 Palestinian children, just so they can accomplish their goals. Now, here's something that, you know, we know what the problem is. I think we should talk more about the solution. We are Americans. Me and you and Mustafa and many of the listeners are Americans. We have a say in this situation. This is our money. I mean, this is my taxpayer dollars that has been allocated to be spent in Palestine. And I have a right, especially if I'm a constituent of Michael McCall. So if you are a constituent of Representative Michael McCall and you're listening to this conversation, you have a right to call his office and say, Representative McCall, with all due respect, the money that you're holding up is my money. This is my taxpayer dollars that you're holding up. I have a say in this democracy, how my money is spent. So please, we're asking you very politely, very, very, very calmly, please do not go down this path of starving innocent people. Release that money. Release my taxpayer dollars that needs to be spent. And Muslim Americans need to understand this really, really well. That we have power. We've got two representatives in the Texas House right now. We have been contributing to the political process. We participate in elections. We participate in this economy. We pay taxes. We are a part and parcel and part of the fabric of American society. And we have a voice, and we have our aspirations and our hopes of what U.S. foreign policy needs to be. And we need to be vocal about that. You know, we can call McCall's office. I would invite everyone listening to this broadcast, please consider picking up the phone or clicking on that letter that is posted on your website. Is that right, Saeed?
Definitely. That letter will be posted on arabvoices.net with the information, and it has a template that they fill in their information, and then they submit it. So it's a link that I have to that official letter to be sent. Yes.
Please call McCall's office and say respectfully, Representative McCall, please don't go down this path. This is a disastrous path. This is the kind of act that fuels terrorism. Don't do that to those innocent people. We know this road. We've been on this path before. When Iraqi children were being starved to death 25 years ago, the terrorists, and we reject the philosophy, the ideology, and the actions and the behavior of all those who have committed terrorism against the United States. We reject them. But this is the kind of policies that feed that, that fuel that, because they take these kind of things and they tell people back in the Middle East, look what the U.S. is doing. It's starving our children to death, and you want us to just sit aside and watch this happen in front of our eyes? No, we should take some action. So McCall and Raish, in my opinion, this is strictly my opinion, are fueling the fires of terrorism. They're not serving this country, the United States. They're not serving the interests of Israel. They're not serving the interests of Israel. And they're definitely not serving dignity of the people of Palestine and the Middle East by pursuing these kind of wrong-headed and ill-advised and misguided policies.
And I know there are dozens of organizations, Arab-American organizations and non-Arab-American organizations throughout the United States are calling for action also, just like your grassroots efforts here in Texas with others, to make Senator James Risch and also Representative Michael McCall of Texas to change their mind to unblock this $75 million that is desperately needed. And I heard that some Congress people are also making some noise and urging those two politicians to let the money flow and let it go to where it needs to go, to UNRWA, to feed the Palestinian refugees that are in desperate need. So again, we will post that information. I'll have a link to all that on our website. From there, you'll be able to send that letter to Senator James Risch and also to Representative Michael McCall. Arabvoices.net is the website. Any last word or any other information, Mustafa or Hadi, you'd like to share with our listeners about this?
Well, you know, Senator McCall has offices in Austin, Katy, Tomball, and College Station. We have two of the numbers. I think it may be listed on your website already, but for those who may need it, Austin, it's 512-473-2357. And the College Station number is 979-431-6480. So please just give them a call and emphasize how important it is for them to release this money and encourage them to respectfully release it so that the Palestinian people don't starve in an impending humanitarian crisis.
Hadi, any last word you'd like to share with our listeners? By the way, I also, in the name of Arab Voices radio talk show, we have reached out to both Congressman McCall's office and Senator Reach's office. I sent them a letter to both asking them for more details and why they are doing this and are there plans to change their minds and so on. But I have not heard from either party yet. Go ahead, Hadi.
A couple of things. The folks that you just mentioned that are opposing this draconian hold on food aid to Palestine, there are several national organizations, including churches, that have written Congress to oppose, in opposition to this policy. For example, the Baptist Church, the National Baptist Church, has written against this. The Episcopal Church has written against this. The Disciples of Christ Church has written against this. And there are many other, the Presbyterian Church has also written about this. So these are the national organizations, not a local church, but at the national level, that are opposing this policy. So there's a lot of people in this country who are aghast, who are just stunned that our government continue to stoop so low to the ground that they want to starve, use food as a weapon. The other thing, which is really important, is that we just have 3 more weeks. Underwar, like you mentioned before, has already claimed that if they do not have funds in their accounts by September 1, people will start going hungry in Palestine and Gaza. So it's important people realize, have a sense of urgency about this. Please pick up the phone tomorrow. Please call McCall's office and ask them. It's a simple ask. Don't use food as a weapon. Please release your hold on the $75 million food aid program to the poorest of the poor Palestinians. These are the poorest of the poor. Please help these refugees. Thank you.
Very well. Again, we will have more information to that and how to reach both the congressman and the senator on our website, arabvoices.net. I only have time to thank our guests, Mustafa Karel and Hadi Jawad. Both of them are activists right here in the state of Texas. We greatly appreciate your work, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Arab Voices, coming to you from the studios of KPFT Houston since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Did you know that this program, Arab Voices, has been on the air since April 2002? That's right, over 20 years of weekly Arab Voices programming. Over 1,000 programs covering different topics with more than 1,000 expert guests appearing on this show from around the globe. All of that has been possible because of your support to KPFT, Houston's community station, our community radio station. And it is time for the membership drive. Please call right now to support KPFT at 713-526-5738 and make a tax-deductible contribution, or make it online at kpft.org. Every dollar counts. Think of the value you get out of KPFT, and really for everyone who listens. We know that not everyone can contribute, but if you can and appreciate what KPFT brings you every day, please consider a pledge, because KPFT relies on you, the listeners, for support. The phones are open. There is room for your call. Help keep up the momentum. Call 713-526-5738. It's not too late. 713-526-5738. Or donate online at kpft.org. We greatly appreciate the support. You've been listening to Arab Voices, originating on KPFT Houston and syndicated on other radio stations in different cities in the U.S. and Europe. Our shows are archived online, and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.